Good evening. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. You're listening to Winning at Life, live financial news talk radio. Yeah, it's live, so want to join the conversation. You know, past few weeks, we've got lots and lots of callers. I think some of it's shifted from questions about PPP, EIDL, EIP. Yeah, those are all like acronyms, economic impact payments and other stuff. And we've kept getting the updates and website changes and stuff. And then towards the end of last week, it shifted to where there's what's coming through more of the pain, the hurt, the troubles with this. Not the questions, how do I do it? And such. So just what I'm feeling. But we also have shifted to more about what to do with your money, what to do next, what you've got to prepare for going forward. So with that said, we can talk about any of those questions you have on getting help, as well as what to do about your 401k, what to do about your emergency saves, what to do about investment planning decisions going forward. And what I have a sense of already, and I've got a number of webinars coming up, by the way, week on this topic that's just really focused, no interruptions, no commercials, just me giving you about 20 minutes of 401k talk. Because what I was looking at last week is unbelievable amount of companies, bankruptcy, reducing payroll, laying off. It's huge. And honestly, I think it's just starting there. So it's going to be big. So if you have a question, not sure what to do, phone number 504-260-0995. Website's gregoryricks.com, and a lot of resources there regarding anything related coronavirus would be gregoryricks/coronavirus. A lot of website links and information and tools and such there. If you want to know more about the show, you can go to Gregory Ricks media tab and you can stream the show. You can find out more about the Winning at Life app. You can download that to your smartphone so you could text, email, call us through the app, stream the show if you need to get away from your radio. And we do this 6 days a week, weeknights at 7, and we have a weekend show from 10 to 1. All of this is live, and we're here to help you.
Yeah, I'm your co-host, James Parker. If you want to know the dates on that webinar, the 401k Q&A, Wednesday, May 6th, 9:30 a.m., Wednesday, May 6th, 6:30 p.m., and Thursday, May 7th, 9:30 a.m. There's not a reason you skip Cinco de Mayo, is it? That's not a sacred holiday in the Ricks household or anything? You have like
it didn't cross my mind.
Tequila related or anything like that?
You know, I didn't go gathering the crowds last year or the year before, and I don't think there's going to be any this year, but I'm still not getting in whatever it is this year. But we'll do the show tomorrow. We'll have a margarita tomorrow night.
Okay. And
honor of Cinco de Mayo.
I want to let you all know that if this entire week seems a little brighter, you know, the birds are singing louder, sun's shining a little brighter, it's my birthday week. My birthday's on Friday, and here's what I want for my birthday. I'd like to have
the night off.
No, I'd like to have a gathering of more than 20 people. That's exactly what I want. All right, 504-260-0995. Let's talk to Sean on the North Shore. You're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. What's up, Sean?
Hello, thank you for taking my call. So my question has to do with an inherited IRA from my father, and people that I'm dealing with regarding that IRA are keep talking to me about investing this much or that much, or, you know, using this many people to help or that many people to help, whether, you know, 100,000, 200,000, two people, four people, and just, you know, internationally, not internationally, et cetera. But they're going over all this kind of stuff, and I'm a little reluctant under the circumstances, you know, for the economics right now, whether I should go forward with that or just kind of hang out and see what happens for another 3 or 6 months.
So where would you like me to start?
Oh, well, just generally, whether or not I should even consider, you know, spreading that money around or not at this particular point.
So when we talk about spreading it around, how much are we dealing with? Are we dealing with 200,000 or 2 million or somewhere?
They were saying somewhere in that, you know, 200-ish range that, okay, you know, they could get some people to help me, and they would take care of it and put it where it should be.
So how many people are going to be helping you with 200,000?
Well, I think they said if I do like 250, there's like four different people, four different, one's international, and there's like categories. So
okay,
speak.
So it sounds like different investments, four or five different investments. Here is the thing from our standpoint, and this is what, I'm a financial advisor during the day and money manager, as well as running the firm, but I've got five advisors on the team that kind of speak as I do. And what we think of, well, first off, what's your age, Sean?
55.
Okay. So one of the things is we would go over our guided planning system. It's a fact finder where we cover a number of topics to see if there's any other issues, because if this is a retirement conversation, we're needing to see when and where is income going to come from in the future and what do we need to do to get there. Investments is a part of it. What to do with this money, and is there any shortfalls? Is there any estate planning issues, healthcare issues, and we need tax efficiency. So that's kind of how we would go about that. One of the things we would want to get to is a risk number. What is your tolerance for the money moving up? I'm sure we don't have a problem with the upside, but then we want to find out what your issues are with downside movement. And hopefully you don't like a lot of that. I'm a conservative guy myself. Even though I'm a money manager, I slant very conservative. But what we want to get is a risk number, and it's probably different from what it's different today,
based on the past few months. When they did initially talk to me about this, they did say, well, you can do like a high risk, a medium risk, or a low risk. That was the first conversation. And now we've gone into using a little more money and using different people. So what's the risk?
What are you if you had that conversation? What risk are you? Do you have a risk number?
I don't know the risk number. No, sir.
Well, are you a low, medium, or high?
Whether I would like to do? I tend to be somebody regularly conservative as far as yes.
Well, I'm just saying from my viewpoint, if you've had two meetings regarding this and you've not come to a real determination on your risk tolerance, and we define it by getting to a number, you really hadn't had that in-depth conversation. However, I think you should be diversified. I think subject to your risk number, and let's say you come in somewhere between 30 and 60 for us, I think you should probably have some stocks, some bonds, and some should be correlated to using a fixed indexed annuity to get you market upside without market downside exposure using par rates. And subject to that risk number is how that blend would work for you. So if we're on the stock ETFs, those are exchange traded funds, we're using several ETFs in that. And I'm not going to give you a specific number, but it could be anywhere from 6 to 10 ETFs because we're diversifying. On the bond side, you're probably using 4, 5, 6 bond ETFs. And depending, we could use one or two fixed indexed annuities to link to that upside. And I believe blending those three asset classes is a better way to invest. Ultimately, I define it as the 50-50 money management philosophy. And for most people, subject to risk, I think you probably should have about half the assets in fixed indexed and the other half on Wall Street. And of that, Sean, I think for most people subject to risk, about half should be in stock ETFs and half in bonds. And I'm slanting conservative because that's what I like personally, which means I would have 75% of my money correlated to the upside of the market. But when the market goes ugly like it's done, I only have 25% exposed to the downside. Yet, when I look at this with historicals, I always have something moving in my favor to keep my money moving forward. That's how we go about giving guidance, and whether I'm doing it during the day, doing teaching, a webinar, or on the show, that's how I believe in doing it, is creating diversification, and I think it's a better way to invest.
Okay, well,
kind of different from what you're doing. Go ahead.
One more quick question, if you don't mind. Basically, when I talked to the person that's been handling this estate for my father, basically when I talked to him on the phone about doing this particular moving forward here with this diversification and so forth, I said, well, what talk to these people then, and they'll about what to do, and they'll go, oh no, I talk to them. And so I'm kind of feel weird about having this person be a middleman. I can't actually directly talk to the people that invest. That's typical, I guess, of how brokers do that.
Well,
they don't really,
we direct the portfolios there. We're not getting coaching from somebody else, but we're giving that guidance. What you need is a second opinion. What this sounds like, you've inherited the money manager too with the money, and you don't have to inherit those people. You can move that money somewhere else. So what you probably should do, you can continue the discussion with them, but I would recommend a second opinion on that so you can get a different take. That sure sounds like you don't have a risk number, there's controlling, and you're not completely understanding. Sean's coming into a couple hundred thousand, and it's inherited money from his father, and he's kind of inheriting who his father's been working with, so he has a choice to make, and it seems like they're not quite as helpful in the objective. Maybe it's just they're working hard to keep the assets. Now, you gave it a comment there, and I appreciate that, Sean, that kind of said, well, you know, it sounds like you might be a better option. For you, I won't say that we are, but we could be. But it's more about a fit for you, that you're getting the help, you're getting the guidance, you understand what's going on. And I think there's a little bit of not understanding as well. And I think that's what you have to come to is find that comfortable fit. Did you have another thought, Sean?
Yes. the guidance is definitely the point. I'm kind of old school as far as face-to-face goes. That's why I'm not really big on, when it comes to something like this, particularly when you're dealing with a lot of money, you don't want to just kind of throw it up in the air. But my last question actually had to do with, you hear these, you see these things a lot on Facebook bouncing around with money, you know, tips for this stock, is tips for this stock, and there's supposed to be this 5G stock that's supposed to be connected to the electronics and this, that, and the other. And you hear all this stuff, you just don't know if it's just a bunch of, you know, bull, or if there's any really validity to it or not.
Well, there's some other principles I can cover with you. However, stock picking is a tough thing. Most people don't do it well. It usually is a bad outcome. And being we have thousands and thousands and thousands of stocks to choose from out there. But what we do know from the past 90 years of the market is most stocks do not outperform 30-day treasuries. So you've got to pick stocks if you're going to go buying stocks. Hope you get them right. And tips on Facebook really aren't getting it done. And then you probably don't have enough diversification. You're overweighted. And it has to go right for you. And if you don't, you probably get injured even more. And, you know, you've heard the saying, if you can't beat them, join them. We'll right. See, no, it's rare when somebody beats the indexes. So we're not trying to beat the indexes. We just want to kind of try to keep up with them. So, and that's why I like index ETFs for stocks. I like index ETFs for bonds as well. And I want some safe money into the mix, which is where I use the FIA. We're not trying to go out here and make 10% or 20%. We want to make reasonable return, reasonable expectation, and keep moving forward, knowing this isn't going to work out every year going forward. Right. But if we have balance between ultimately three overall sectors, you know, and in the past 20 years, when I give this talk on the 50-50 money management philosophy using those bonds, FIA, and stock ETFs, there's only 1 year that one of those asset classes did not move forward for us. We're all three were either zero, or slightly negative, actually. You care to guess which year it was out of the past 20 years?
The last 20 years, probably right before Obama took office.
Is that big? A lot of people say 2008 is the typical answer I get, but actually it was 2018. But the point being, it was 1 year out of the past 20 that all three sectors went negative on us. And I kind of say out of 20 years, I'm pretty good with that going that way with it. So yeah, we're conservative, but you know, it's the race between the tortoise and hare. You know, you just, which do you want to be? I want to finish. I want to keep my money and I want to keep it moving forward, knowing there's going to be movement, but overall we should be better. So once again, you can call the office.
So is there a number or whatever off air or whatever you can give me info on?
I can give you a phone number right now, and everybody else listening, it's 504-832-9200, and the website is gregoryricks.com.
Right. Okay. Well, that way I can start running with that. I'll open a couple of weeks and I can sit down face to face and see what I can do. I appreciate your help, sir.
All right, Sean. Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening to Winning at Life. You know, and that's one thing we've been talking about this morning. A conversation came up with, on Mondays, I do have a focused meeting with the advisors and we sit down and the theme I was hearing this from them last week is, gosh, I'm missing the face-to-face meetings. We're always talking to people on the phone and doing video meetings, but we actually spend more time before all this happened in face-to-face meetings. And we all are missing that. So, and I get what Sean said there, I'm talking about my money. I want to sit down with somebody face-to-face. Oh, I totally get that completely. That's how I am, how I want to be. And helping clients, what's my preference? Yeah, I want to sit down face-to-face and have a talk with them. That just doing that tells you so much more. And that's why we're humans.
The holdup on face-to-face meetings, is that a government restriction or is that just a GRA policy? Is that your policy?
Well, we're supposed to be doing social distancing. Everybody's supposedly supposed to be staying home, right?
Well, you're an essential business, so I don't
know
how far it went.
Right, but that's why I have people at the office. We're answering the phones and doing that. But for your safety and ours, we're not holding in-office meetings, but we're doing the 15-minute phone calls. We're doing the video meetings. But once the governor says, okay, we start doing some things, we're going to be fine, but we're going to practice social distancing. The office is going to be clean and sanitized. The meeting rooms will. And we're not going to have you meet sitting in the conference or waiting area with other people. We're going to get you brought back to your own private conference room like we always have done. It doesn't change too much for us from that standpoint. This is because we clean up the room after every meeting. We've always done that. You've been in our office and seen that. We clean up after every meeting. So there's the new, except we'll probably be wearing masks, and sitting down and having the conversation. So that's going to probably be the biggest difference on that protocol there.
Well, next door, they're relaxing starting at 8 a.m. on Thursday. Governor Tate Reeves says Mississippi can open restaurants indoor and outdoor as long as your capacity is limited to 50% of what it previously was, and the servers are wearing masks.
See, it's more of a mask world going forward, but I've been doing some reading regarding the restaurants, and you have some experience back in the day in this background. It's just, I'm restaurateurs that have number of restaurants, sizable, and this one has one I was particularly reading about this morning, he has small restaurants and big, and he said at 50%, he doesn't know that he can pay the bills. Heck, you crank up those refrigeration units to start storing food and stuff, electric bill might eat up profits there. What are your thoughts on the 50%? How does that go forward if that's the way it is for a while?
It does not go forward. It doesn't go forward for just the reasons that you said. Restaurants have to work on such a razor-thin margin because if you take your hamburger price up to $15, they'll just go to the next restaurant that's still selling it for $8 or $10.
So I can't sell a $30 burger and make it then?
Not unless everyone else around you is selling $30 burgers.
And no, then they're not going to.
No, and then the number of people who are going to go out to eat diminishes. So now you have to sell it for $40 a burger, and it's going to be sort of an inflationary upward spiral.
It's
going to
be a good burger, though.
It'll probably be a comparable quality to the previous burger that we were getting for $11 or whatever it was. But
it's going to be tough.
I know every single restaurant I worked at. My first job when I was 16, I was a busboy at a little Tex-Mex place. I worked at Orion Steakhouse, worked at a Mexican restaurant, worked at a little Fufu Cafe in Dallas. I had a nice little smattering. They all lose money Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Some of them at least break even on Friday, but Saturday and Sunday is the only days restaurants really make money.
And they're full to do that.
All day. You have to be painfully packed for at least one meal. Either lunch is your jam or dinner's your jam, or you're going for the all day thing, but you have to have something that hits big on the weekend or you just don't make it. So this idea that you can open with half the amount of tables, limiting to half the customers, no restaurant is going to survive long term under current conditions. None.
Yeah, I'd read one. He said, until we can fully open, we're just going to stay with takeout because it said, what do I do with the staff and such? And that's even regarding the PPPs not going to work for them under those rules.
You know, it's weird because when you talk about the waiters, they get paid nothing. So that's not really your big expense. The big expense
is the back office, so to speak.
It's everybody else. I mean, you're even paying the hostess who's doing the seating more than you're paying the waiters and waitresses and the bartenders. So unless you're like a Commander's Palace or a Dickie Brennan's or a highfalutin steakhouse, you are not going to have the margin to live like this. So this is expected to be temporary, and I hope this gets relaxed as time goes on, but I hope we have good news that allows us to get relaxed as time goes on. goes on. All restaurants and bars must have hand sanitizers at all entrances, hostess stations, near bathrooms, and cashier stations.
Well, I'm going to give you some thoughts on where this is headed when we come back.
Still can't get a new tattoo, though, Gregory. That's going to be closed in Mississippi. All right, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life. Yeah. Live Financial News Talk Radio. Listening to news this morning, did some reading, of course. That's kind of what I do. Kind of wake up, hit the on button. It's just kind of like, okay, it's morning. See the sun coming up. Okay, hit the on button so I can get on business news early in the morning. That's kind of how I start my day. And then, okay, this is good, 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 good. Okay, I got to get up now. I got to start reading along with my coffee. And hopefully, you know, it came from someplace like Brazil or something like that. Somebody was asking me yesterday, I hear U.S. buys a lot of coffee from China. And I said, I don't think we buy any because I don't think any's made in China. If we're buying it from China, that's because they bought it from somewhere else. So I kind of went to the top 10 and no, they're not in it. So I don't know if they make it care. I sure wouldn't want it, but I'm kind of like want Colombian or Brazil, you know, that type of coffee. There.
Better come from a guy with a mule.
Yeah, climbing the hills out there. So, but I read up on an article, and look, I'm not the medical guy here, but I understand what's going on. And what was optimism, once again, is research over there in Netherlands, and I believe another U.S. firm, both of them have, and I don't know if this is interaction, we didn't drill down deep enough in this story, but this is kind of preliminary stuff. They found a human antibody that is resistant to SARS and resistant to COVID-19. And what was interesting, and they said it was a human antibody other than being genetically designed or coming from another animal for testing. And they said basically this came from mice with human genes mixed in, so however they do that. But they refer to it as a human antibody, which means highly unlikely to have side effects, which being it's a human antibody, means it can move into rapid tests. And I like the sound of that, which also, if they're going to move that into testing, that means they've already started manufacturing it. And whether you know it or not, a lot of vaccines are being manufactured. Why? Because if they get approved, they're ready to roll. So you have a lot of money being invested knowing that all these vaccines aren't going to make it. But once again, positive news that gives me the timeline that this might be something that we might can get approval on by the end of the year and get putting out to the medical people to start with. But we might could sometime on the back end of 2021, we might well have 80% of the population on the planet. Well, that's a reach, but we're going to have a great portion of the population vaccine, those that you can't get to and those that are non-believers. So, but I think that's positive news going forward. And once again, means the back end of 2021 is going to be a good year, kind of like 2009 was. So that's where I'm at, because otherwise what we were talking about before we went to break about the restaurants and stuff like that, none of that gets well without a vaccine, meaning us being resistant to catching this thing. And this afternoon, I heard a real sad story about a fight, and you don't think about young people or whatever, but a 5-month-old had COVID-19 and was in bad shape yesterday and was being transported by ambulance. Another was in a small town and they tested it was positive, but the dad was positive and probably the mom is too, but then was being transported by ambulance to a facility that could take care of it. And I said, was the child sick? They said, yeah, the child was distressed. So once again, it's not the 60 plus crowd only on this thing. So that's why we still got to do our part and believing that we're going to beat this thing and have help.
Well, you mentioned restaurants are taking a horrible beating. Another industry that's getting it pretty bad is gyms. Gold's Gym files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy today. Did you hear about this one?
I did not.
Well, they're all closed here. They have about 700 locations worldwide, but most of those are franchised out. The company Gold's Gym, their parent company, actually owns 63 that are owned and operated by Gold's Gym. And they said them and J. Crew were the big headlines today. today. J. Crew Store Clothing. Yeah, I saw
that. I was expecting that.
Yeah. Now, that's different. That one doesn't upset me nearly as bad. J. Crew's been on a downhill slide along with the, you know, the retail clothing, anything that's in a mall that's all been kind of trending down for the last 3-4 years anyway. You know, the Amazon effect. And so that was just putting out a cigarette that was almost done anyway. This Gold's Gym thing is taking a company that was having one of its best quarters ever in the first quarter until this thing turned around. It was actually off to its one of the strongest starts of a year before the pandemic hit. Now it's in Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
So that's kind of telling me also right there, they didn't have a big cash reserve either for that. Because knowing, you know, people can get back to working out. They can get back. Why can't they get back 50% capacity, James? Like, can they make it 50%?
They would have to double their prices, basically. And so you think like half of those would go away.
$40 hamburger.
Yeah. And so since you would have to double your prices, a big chunk of them would go the way. So you probably have to a little bit more than double them to get by on half capacity. But I don't know if you've ever been to a gym you paid for. As long as you go in off hours, it's never at half. You can get half capacity, no problem.
I have in the past, and you know what I didn't like? I didn't like going when it was full.
Hate that. Right.
To me, it felt like competition. I just want to work out. And I want my own area.
I can't stand it when you're on a treadmill and there's someone waiting their turn.
Oh, I know. Right? Standing behind you like, did you get off the machine?
It's like, no, I'm going to wait.
I got to do 10 miles.
I'm waiting until this episode's over, bud. You're going to have to suck it up. But I don't understand how any gym is staying in business, even if you are prescient and successful and you have a nice little cash hoard to draw from. How long could that last? 2-3 months?
Yeah, so you're thinking just the nature of the sweat and touching everything, it's a problem?
Well, it's that they're 100% closed down, and all of them. And there is no drive-through or takeout option. You can't order it online. And, I mean, the only way a gym can survive under these...
And this is a slow startup, I might add, that's coming.
Oh, yeah. And even if they say, hey, it's game on, people aren't going to flock back to these guys. And what did they do? Did they keep everybody on the payroll this whole time?
No.
So that is just an absolute disaster.
And they still have rent and machine payments and all that.
Yeah, so they are restructuring their debt now. Now, this isn't the killer death knell chapter of bankruptcy, but this one's pretty bad. Gregory, when was the last time you went to a gym? I've been working out at home. I feel kind of disconnected from the gym world.
I don't know. I did step into one 2 years ago, but I think from a workout standpoint, oh my gosh, I believe 4 years ago, but you know, I work out from home.
Yeah, I have the little home setup too.
Yeah, so that's what I do.
It's one of those things that when you fire that industry back up, how are you going to pull this off? How are you going to make people work out with the mask on? You understand how hard it is to breathe when I'm running at 6 miles an hour without
a
mask
gym,
on.
My home gym, no mask is required.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
But for the gyms that survive, you know, the Snaps or the Planet Fitness or whatever they got going on.
Yeah, that's a whole nother point. It's going to be masked world for a while.
Right. And that does not...
Until the vaccine.
That does not bode well for our partners over at the gym.
All right. So what about the wine bars? How do you do that with a mask?
Sipping on wine?
And once again, you go to the restaurant. How do you eat with a mask on?
Any bar.
Or a restaurant as well. How do you eat with a mask on?
You don't.
See? That's like...
Well, have you ever seen the videos on YouTube of the ladies in Sharia countries where they have to eat with their veil on? They do it. It seemed weird at the time, but I might be looking in our future here.
What about like if your restaurant's a buffet? You know, what was that? That Brazilian restaurant or something? Buffets?
I love those. I'll still go.
I think they're gone. They're gone.
Dang it. Don't say that. Hey,
at least until we get vaccines.
Who's the greatest baseball player of all time?
Babe Ruth.
Do you know he had the Spanish flu twice?
No.
He sure did. You know, for his first couple of years he was in baseball, he played for the Red Sox, and he was a left-handed pitcher. And there was really no such thing as a power hitter back then. He actually led the league with 11 home
runs.
Maybe
it was
a
false negative.
You mean false positive? Wait.
No, false negative. He was well, but he wasn't. So they retested him, and then
the third test,
he was positive again. Like, you got it again. No, I've been feeling bad ever since.
Yeah, well, it was tough, man, because they were also going through, the tail end of World War One. There had been a bunch of Red Sox who had been taken off to go to war, and they're like, we can't lose our new left-handed pitcher. And they were thinking about making him play. He sat out. He's fine now. I mean, he died eventually, but not of Spanish flu.
I get it now.
I'm James Parker. We're Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How you doing? It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. This is The Money Show. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory. 504-260-0995. You give us a call or text from the front screen of the Winning at Life app. Something, can I just go ahead and take over real quick, or do you have something to add?
I'm good. You lead.
Yeah.
Segment, a few minutes left. Call 504-260-0995. Okay, James, back to you.
If you missed our Saturday show, you didn't miss much. I had to call in sick. I really wasn't feeling that sick. I just woke up. I vomited and I had a little bit of a headache, but I was like, maybe I just ate something bad because we had a lot of questionable crap.
You didn't want to be grilled. You don't like your temperature taken.
Well, and usually
you had aches and pains, any fever, you know, the whole,
for those of you who don't know me, that
pages of questions before you can come in the building.
If you don't know me behind the scenes, I like to work sick. I don't take sick days. I don't even really get sick enough for it to bother me. I just plow through it, and I like to save my sick days for when I'm healthy. So this is a weird time that I'm going to get sick and then call Gregory and not even fight him on it. Not even, fine, we're not doing a show, fine. But one thing I wanted to do on Saturday show, this broke my heart because there's two calls that I wanted to relive when we had the chance to actually talk about it, because you and I talked about them off the air. A lot of good stuff here. Number one, Bill in New Orleans. Backstory on Bill. He had called us, what was it, last Saturday, and his situation was kind of tough. There's some medical issue, and without going into details, he sounded like it was pretty serious. He was making sure he has his affairs in order for his spouse and his loved ones. And talk about a really heartfelt, kind of wrenching call. And Gregory talked him through some important basics and kind of pointed him in the right direction and gave him a nice little push. And we thought it was a nice little call. But the reply we got last week was even more heartwarming. This is Bill in New Orleans from last, what was that, Thursday?
First.
Bill in New Orleans, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Bill?
Yes, sir. I wanted to thank you guys so much. You and Mr. Ricks and Mr. Gregory have helped me tremendously. I called you guys about 4 or 5 days ago and talked to you about a very complex financial concern I had. And I went and seen my financial advisor yesterday, and I was very prepared for it, for watching some of your podcasts and listening to your information. And you guys really helped me be prepared for that, because I'm not very astute in the financial world. And my financial advisor already had a lot of that stuff already squared away for me. And I'm so thankful for your insight and your information. And I just felt like I needed to call you. And I never had anybody ever from a radio show ever call me. And they called me today from your office to touch base with me, just to ask me if I was okay and if I needed anything. And I just felt it was important for everybody to know that it was awesome. And it meant a lot to me in this time and the things that I'm dealing with. And I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, Bill. Glad we could be of help to you. And, you know, if you need anything, we're here for you here on the radio show as well as at my office.
All right, coming back now. We're back live. That was just a piece of his call from last Thursday.
Yeah, it's interesting. And when somebody's going through that and to have somebody show they care, and we always like that when we're kind of down and struggling. And we gave him good guidance on the previous call-in on what he needed to look for when he's going to do that review, and some other tips on preparing, because he's going into surgery and such as well, but give him some tips on what to do going forward. Because what he did mention, objective was to make sure he had everything in line, because it was a serious surgery, and he wanted to make sure he was looking out for his wife. And that wasn't picked up in that call, but that's what he spoke about in the first. So gave him some tips and ideas to do that meeting and some other things from a doc standpoint regarding like POA and medical instructions and stuff like that, and guidance. And it helped him, and I'm sure it helped a lot of others.
I'm always impressed when I see someone who's facing what is a mortal situation not only be so calm and polite while they're going through this terrible calamity, but the first thing he's thinking about is other people. You know, it's his life on the line, and he's worried about his wife. And I just hope I have that sort of level of clarity when I'm in a similar situation, God forbid. And it's just nice that he has every excuse to be upset, to be mad at the world, to be cursing God. And here he is just being polite, making extra phone calls so the people around him feel a little bit of extra gratitude. He didn't have to do any of that. Yeah, and he has every excuse to not call a radio show. Clearly has bigger things on his plate.
Yeah, but that is kind of a normal thing we do, is do follow-ups with people. Just say, did you get everything you needed? Is there anything else you need? That's kind of what we do on that, and that's what he experienced from that follow-up.
The other call, we're going to have to review that one tomorrow, because Sandra from Picayune, her call is 9 minutes. And so if I start it right now.
And we probably have some stuff to talk about on her call in particular. And you can go ahead and give a just description so the listeners tune back in tomorrow and pick that one up.
Sandra is one of these people who helps other people so much, she hurts herself. Her heart is so big and so wide, and she is so generous that if she is facing constant negative consequences, just both financially and time and stress, and her work's been cut back since the coronavirus shutdowns and pullbacks have started, and she's having trouble making ends meet. And one of her ends that she has been making meet is some charitable work she does for some less fortunate people in her church community. And she doesn't know, is she going to let these people down? Because she can't make money. And so she's just in dire straits trying to get help from a program or get a better work situation. She was just asking Gregory question after question. And it's a good way that when you hear the story, you hopefully you're not thinking of yourself, but you know someone like this. Probably someone close to you. It might be like, my grandmother was like this. My mother-in-law is like this now. I'm not like this. I'm not so nice I hurt myself. But these big-hearted people.
Well, I also am worried about the replay. I hope it comes across on the replay, because there's one point I had to get her to stop talking because I had to explain something, and we're about to run out of time and go to a break. I don't know. I guess I get to hear that tomorrow as well, how that comes across on a replay.
Well, the content was spread over two segments. I got them married together, and it comes down to 9 minutes and 40 seconds after I married it and edited it down. Hey, some quick advice here. Have you got your stimulus check yet? If you're expecting a stimulus check and it's the wrong amount, how do you know if it's the wrong amount? You go to GregoryRicks.com/coronavirus, and there's a little calculator. If you received too little already, the IRS said those individuals may not receive the full payment allotted to them until next year when you file your 2020 tax returns. Better news, though, if you went and you did your little stimulus calculator and you thought your check was going to be X amount, but you actually got more than you were supposed to get, the IRS said that you will not have to pay any of that money back.
Well, I think, isn't there another day on the SSI dependents to go to the website?
I think that closes at noon tomorrow.
Yeah.
So if you're receiving Social Security disability and you don't have to file a tax return, you haven't filed a tax return, the system may not be aware of your dependents. And so you may be missing out on that $500 extra per dependent that you would get on your economic impact payment. That's a stimulus check. So there's a direct portal for that for SSI recipients who do not file. It's linked on GregoryRicks.com/coronavirus. If you don't go get that taken care of, you will be made whole about this time next year whenever you file your 2020 tax.
Gosh, that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. All right. So then one more. This is kind of a more lighthearted thing. I feel like I lied to everybody on Friday. I told you about Chick-fil-A. The Atlanta-based fast food chain is launching meal kits so you can make Chick-fil-A at home. You just got to go to the store and pick them up. So I went to Chick-fil-A today, and they didn't have them at the Chick-fil-A over on Vets here.
Well, I thought that they cooked their chicken in pressure cookers. So are they making those available to us as well?
I have no idea. I don't know. I was going to try and figure this out because I'm a huge fan of Chick-fil-A, but man, I'm getting tired of fast food. And so this was kind of that middle ground where I don't have to cook at home or eat fast food. You know, I was trying to get a meal kit. Plus, I get to come back and report it to you on, you know, the new evolution of how we're getting our food down our face as fast as possible. But they did have a new innovation at the Chick-fil-A that I can pass along to you. You know how they have the dual lanes for their drive-thru? They had four people, two of them were at each lane. They had the little mask on, they had the headset on, and they had the little thing where you ring it up, a little handheld pad with a little slider on it. And so you go out there and they're taking orders from four cars at the same time. When one car is done, it pulls up and the guy just walks with you as you scoot up to let the next one in. Just walking up, taking your order. And when you're done, he doesn't touch your card. You don't touch a thing. You don't do any PIN number. You just slide your card. No PIN number.
I experienced that over in Gulfport, but they had a line that wrapped around to then get into the ordering line, which was long.
All right, you're home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. You need some financial help. Go to GregoryRicks.com or call his office, 504-832-9200. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Roth conversion is a taxable event and may have several tax-related consequences. Be sure to consult with a qualified tax advisor before making any decisions regarding your IRA. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.